43.
You have killed creature, Tyrannosaurus Rex.
The message flashed across my eyes as I rode the Rex's dead body down, and as it crashed to the ground, I raised my hand and used auric extraction. Admittedly, part of me was surprised that had worked, since the creature had to have been a few levels higher than me. But then again, I'd hit it with a super critical strike backed by all my aura.
Pattern. Tyrannosaurus Rex has been learned. Would you like to create a Tyrannosaurus Rex?
I most certainly did. And thanks to the regeneration properties of auric extraction, I had more than enough aura to do just that.
How do you like me now?
I cried, as my own Tyrannosaurus Rex, that I affectionately named Sue, rose up behind me. Only, my triumph faded as I saw Titania. She stood there, holding Thera aloft by the throat, which was made doubly amazing by the fact that Titania was over a foot shorter. Then again, she could fly, and as such, had floated a couple of feet above the ground. Thera struggled in her grip, but I could see her movements slowing as her eyes started to bug out of her skull, and since her club was on the ground beside them, I was pretty sure she didn't actually have a way to hurt the Fairy Queen. Hell, even with us being the same level, I wasn't sure I could hurt the Fairy Queen.
I have no thoughts about you either way,
Titania said, as she squeezed and Thera's eyes bugged further out of her skull.
Actually, that isn't true. I am bored now.
She flung Thera across the ground. The impact sent a shudder through me, and as the chieftainess bounced a few times, rage made me see red.
So, while I'd like to say this has been fun, it has not.
She turned to face me and floated closer, her body wreathed in flame like a horrifically demonic angel.
Goodbye, knight.
The impact of Queenie slamming into Titania from the side was only dwarfed by the shockwave of her final sting going off. As the Ant Queen expended every last point of aura in one titanic display of power that burst outward like a nuclear blast, Titania was hurled bodily to the side, where she bounced a truly satisfying number of times. Better still, it seemed like for all her posturing that Queenie's attack had actually hurt the Queen of Summer, because even though she got back to her feet rather quickly, it was slower than it had been before. And, what's more, she actually looked bloody and bruised, and one of her arms hung at an obscene angle. Thank you, Queenie, I said, wishing I had the aura to summon her, but unfortunately, the Tyrannosaurus had used so much that there wasn't enough left in the tank. Now, anyway. She had likely known that, and while she didn't know I knew she hated being in the pocket, she had sent herself there anyway to buy me a shot at beating Titania, and I wouldn't waste it. After all, if I didn't take advantage, she'd be stuck there forever, and that was something I couldn't abide.
Die!
I cried as I rushed forward and lashed outward with a feint at the Fairy Queen as fire began to climb over her once more. She went for it, raising her arms upward to block her face, and I shifted my feet and hips suddenly, reversing the direction of the blow and bringing my weapon around to cleave her in half. Clang! The sound of my weapon impacting her hand as she caught the edge of a millimeter from her flesh resounded across the battlefield.
You are nothing, Garrett.
She snapped as she tore the weapon from my hand and flung it across the field.
Nothing.
Then she smacked me across the face so hard I nearly blacked out.
You keep saying that, and yet you're the battered and bloody one,
I said, as I collapsed to my knees in front of the queen of the hot and bright.
True, but in a moment, all that will remain of you will be a charred corpse.
Sue bit down on the fairy queen, and it was strangely satisfying to see the massive Rex's incredibly powerful jaws gnash on Titania. It was less satisfying because they didn't even pierce her flesh. Still, as Sue shook Titania like a rag doll, the fairy queen howled in pain. Unfortunately, she clearly hadn't lost her senses, because as I recovered enough to see straight, the Tyrannosaurus Rex's head exploded in a burst of blood and flame.
Your summons cannot touch me!
Titania snarled as she glided toward me an instant before her hand shot forward to grab me around the throat and hoist me into the air.
You are too weak to summon anything that could ever hurt me.
Her grip on my neck tightened, cutting off my air supply as I reached into my inventory.
And now you can't even run that stupid little mouth of yours.
She shook her head.
But mostly, I am disappointed. Disappointed in you, sure, but in my sister, Marb. To think she thought she could have a plaything, even one as pathetic as you. It is sad on many levels.
She sighed.
What a desperate crone my sister has become by sitting alone in her dark and shadows.
She looked into my eyes, and I saw an endless black hole of malevolence and hatred. That was what it looked like when stars died. Winter might be cruel, but it was indifferent about it. This was focused, caring hatred. And somehow, that was scarier than cold, uncaring indifference. But there was also one thing that sort of hatred did. It made you sloppy. So even though I couldn't breathe, hell, could barely think, even though my vision was growing dark around the edges and my heart and lungs felt like they'd burst, I mustered up one last act of defiance. I spat a mouthful of bloody saliva into those stupid, angry eyes.
You dare!
She snarled, her grip loosening just enough for me to suck in the memory of a breath, and as her other hand came up to wipe away the bloody slime from her vision, I ripped the frozen spike of overwhelming darkness from my inventory and drove it into the gleaming red spot just beside where her heart would be if she had one. I'd like to say there was an impact, or an explosion, or fucking something to indicate that it had worked. There wasn't, though. All that happened was that I could suddenly breathe, and as the humid air hit my tortured throat, I collapsed to the ground on my hands and knees. My neck ached, both inside and out. And after I'd drawn in a few shuddering breaths, I finally was able to clear my vision enough to look up. That's when I saw Titania. She was on her knees with golden blood pouring from around the ragged hole the spike had left in her. Dark veins of inky blackness spiraled out across her flesh like angry worms, while hoarfrost covered her skin inch by inch. Her mouth opened and closed like a dying fish, and as she reached up and gripped the spike with her hands in an attempt to pull it out, the scent of sizzling flesh hit my nose. Then, the skin along the palms of her hands and fingers began to bubble and blister where she touched the spike.
"You know, I would have expected more from you, dear sister. Much, much more."
Mob's voice poured over the clearing as she stepped out of the darkness and shadow and looked down at her sister. Where Titania had been all glistening, naked muscle, Mob was the essence of the royal princess. The black and red silk of her ball gown swished around her perfect figure in such a way as to suggest the amazing form beneath it, but not enough to give it all away. More, it made you guess as to what was hidden beneath. What you might find if you were to explore its folds. Her white hair cascaded around her like the calm snowfield before a blizzard. "This?" Mob gestured at Titania as she strode toward, each step a sprinkling of frost in her wake. "This is the most pathetic display I have ever seen, Titania." She reached her sister, and with one last sad look, she sighed. "Truly pathetic. And for that, well, I'm not sure what to do." Mob tapped her cheek as she gave me a wry smile. "Should she be punished? Taught how to properly convey herself?" "Bitch!" Titania said, and then spat blood and darkness and flame and hate on Mob's snowdrift white shoes. "Who wears a black dress with white slippers?"
"I'll thank you for not talking about my choice of clothing,"
Mob snorted as she reached out and grabbed Titania by her ponytail. Then, she began dragging her sister back toward the rippling darkness from whence she'd come. Try as she might, Titania could do more than struggle weakly as she was pulled inch by painful inch toward it.
"Where are you taking her?" I asked as I watched the display. "And why did you come?"
"She cannot die, unfortunately,"
Mob sighed as she caught my eye.
"It would unbalance the elements in ways you cannot understand. So, I'm going to remove the spike."
She must have caught the look on my face, because she laughed then.
"Oh, do not worry. She and I will have a long, long talk beforehand. After all, only I can remove a spike made by my hand and delivered by my hand."
She gave me a look full of laughter as she spoke that last part.
"So, if she wants it removed, well, concessions will be made. Now, won't they?"
She winked at me as she approached the entrance to the void.
"And Garrett, know that I am very, very pleased with you."
She blew me a kiss before dragging Titania, kicking and screaming, into the darkness itself.
"You have been granted the title Knight of the Cold and Dark. This title will replace your title of the Cold and Dark. Using this title will give you increased access to the elemental magic lines of ice and earth. Would you like to use this title?"
I accepted without really thinking. And as I looked around, I realized it was over. Somehow, some way, my summons
and the Blue Palm Tribe had triumphed over not just the Orange Clan, but the other Rex as well. I barely scanned the messages that followed that realization. You have been granted greater power over the elemental power, ice. You will now be better able to infuse your magic with ice. Your resistance to cold has greatly increased. Your body will be able to better resist the power of ice magic. You have been granted greater power over the elemental power, earth. You will now be better able to infuse your magic with the power of earth. Your resistance to earth has greatly increased. Your body will be able to better resist the power of earth magic. You have completed the quest. Defeat the Firebringer. The return gate has now been opened. You may leave at any time. You gain 62 stat points and 10 skill points to distribute. Your relationship with the Blue Palm Clan has increased from honored to revered. You have leveled up. You gain 3 stat points and 1 skill point to distribute. You have leveled up. You gain 3 stat points and 1 skill point to distribute. You have leveled up. You gain 3 stat points and 1 skill point to distribute. All that was interesting, as were the words Mob had spoken about the blow being delivered by her hand. And as soon as I had a chance, I was going to set the pussycats to researching that one. But for now, I did the most important things I could do. First, I summoned Queenie back from the auric pocket and gave her a huge hug and kiss. "Thank you," I whispered to her as I kissed her again. "You're really the best."
"You're welcome, Master,"
she said, cheeks flushing.
"Now, I think there is someone else you should tend to."
She nodded toward Thera.
"I will take care of the cleanup."
"Again, the best," I said, giving her one last kiss before approaching Thera, who was sitting up and speaking with Denno despite clearly being hurt. Which was when I realized several Orange Tribe members had been captured rather than killed. Denno nodded to me and scurried off to do whatever she'd told him. "Are you okay?" I asked her as I approached her, already summoning a few Minder Ants to tend to her wounds.
"I will be okay,"
she said as she accepted the ant's help without complaint. Admittedly, part of me had expected her to argue.
"You serve a truly fearsome master."
"Oh, Mob?" I asked with a thoughtful frown. "Yeah, she's kind of scary."
"I am glad to not be you," she smirked. "Though, I am glad you have paid the price for her help."
"I am too. For now, anyway." I offered her my hand and helped her up. "So, what are we going to do now?"
"Rest," Thera said, as she took my hand. And as she took a step toward her tent, she smiled back at me. "And your aunt should join us when she is done. After all, I think she deserves some rest too." Thera winked at me. "After that? Who knows? It seems the Orange Clan's leader was killed by Titania, so someone will have to step in."
"I think I know just the person," I said, as I wrapped her in my arms and kissed her deeply.
"Perhaps," she said when our kiss broke. "But that is a problem that can wait until morning."